January 6th is tomorrow, and while the media makes it seem like the mere thought that the 2020 election was a little hinky has completely obliterated the very fabric of America, don't buy it. It's actually not the first time that the American people have called BS on a presidential election. So the next time someone says you believe the big lie, that you're an insurrectionist, or that you're destroying democracy, point them to this podcast. Before Trump, there were four presidential elections that were contested. These are their stories. The first one was in 1876. The candidates were Republican Ohio Governor Rutherford B. Hayes and Democrat New York Governor Samuel Tilden. The Civil War had ended just over a decade earlier. The Confederate states were allowed to rejoin the Union. The U.S. was in its Reconstruction era. Although the Civil War was over, the country was still divided along the same lines as it was beforehand. Republican support came from Northerners and African Americans in the South. Democrats were supported by whites in the South and some in the North that weren't as supportive of the North during the Civil War. These tensions came to a head on Election Day. Democrats apparently couldn't just move on from the Civil War, so they decided to intimidate African-American Republican voters all over the South. If they could scare them and keep them from voting, they could ensure their candidate, Samuel Tilden, won. Here's where it gets interesting. Three Southern states, Florida, Louisiana, and South Carolina, had election boards run by Republicans. It appeared that Democrat Samuel Tilden was winning. Those election boards decided to invalidate enough votes to ensure that Florida, Louisiana, and South Carolina were won by candidate Rutherford B. Hayes. These three states would deliver enough electoral votes for Hayes that he would win the Electoral College. 185 to 184. But things got messy. Those states sent competing sets of election results. Those contested electoral votes were sent to Congress in 1877. Congress decided to sort this out by creating a bipartisan commission. It would consist of seven Republicans and seven Democrats. There would also be one independent, a guy by the name of Justice David Davis of Illinois. The commission was easily diverted. At the time, senators were not directly elected by the American people. Instead, they were chosen by their state legislature. Illinois decided to choose that independent commissioner, David Davis, as their U.S. senator. After he resigned to accept his position as senator, he was replaced by Republican Justice Joseph Bradley. Predictably, he sided with the other seven Republicans on the commission. This partisan 8-7 decision awarded all the electoral votes from the disputed state to Republican Rutherford B. Hayes. Democrats were, of course, irked, but they used the presidential election as leverage to get something out of it for themselves. Democrats decided not to contest the results. Instead, they struck a deal that became known as the Compromise of 1877. Democrats would look the other way on the election and let Republican Rutherford B. Hayes win. In return, Republicans would agree to end the Reconstruction and cease the military occupation of the South that had lingered for over a decade after the Civil War ended. Barely a decade later, the U.S. would be facing another electoral crisis. The year was 1888. Democratic President Grover Cleveland was running for re-election against Republican Benjamin Harrison. Back in the day, for most states, voting wasn't private. To make matters worse, ballots were distributed by political parties. Some people would sell their vote. They were called floaters. And here's where the scandal begins. Republican Benjamin Harrison appointed William Wade Dudley as treasurer of the Republican National Committee. Dudley then sent a letter to local leaders in Indiana. He promised money for a special project in that state. He wanted the local party to find these floaters and put them into blocks of five. One Republican activist would be responsible for each of these blocks. As Benjamin Franklin once said, three may keep a secret if two of them are dead. And that secret from Dudley didn't last very long. Democrats obtained a copy of that letter and spread it around leading up to the election. Harrison ended up winning Indiana as well as the election. Even without Indiana, where that voter block scheme was implemented, Harrison would have won the election because he managed to also pick up President Cleveland's home state of New York. However, it's believed there was a vote-buying scheme in that state as well. President Cleveland accepted the results despite evidence of vote-buying. However, 4 years later, Cleveland ran again and won, just like Trump. That puts those two presidents in a unique club, as being the only ones to serve non-consecutive terms in the White House. The Block of Five scandal is what inspired the nationwide shift to secret ballots for voting. It would be another 70 years before another election would be seriously contested. In 1960, Republican Vice President Richard Nixon was running against Democratic Senator John F. Kennedy. This was the closest election of the 20th century in terms of the nationwide popular vote. Kennedy beat Nixon by just 100,000 votes. That's less than 0.2%. But we don't use the popular vote to elect presidents. We use the Electoral College. This means it only matters who wins each state and thus their electoral votes. The votes were also close at the state level. Kennedy beat Nixon by less than 1% in five states: Hawaii, Illinois, Missouri, New Jersey, and New Mexico. He beat Nixon by less than 2% in Texas. Republicans were suspicious. Their main beef was with Southern Texas and Chicago. They alleged a political machine run by Mayor Richard Daley manufactured enough votes to hand Kennedy the state of Illinois. If Nixon won Texas and Illinois, he would have won the election. Republican-leaning newspapers reported that voter fraud occurred in both of these states. Nixon didn't contest the election, however. Instead, he copied President Cleveland. 8 years later, Nixon ran for president and won. Finally, we have the 2000 election. If you're a millennial, you might be old enough to remember this one. Republican Governor George Bush was running against Democratic Vice President Al Gore. The first problem was that the news changed their reporting on the election results four times. First, they called Florida for Gore, then they retracted it, then they called it for Bush, then they retracted it. It may seem inconsequential, but the first time they called the election, the polls were still open in some areas, and it could have influenced or deterred voters. But the main problem in this election was the ballots themselves. A lot of states were using a ballot that you would punch. This system had existed since the 1960s and had a history of malfunctioning. But in the 2000 election, it would become the star of the show. Two main issues arose, one with butterfly ballots and the other with hanging chads. It all started in Palm Beach County. They had used something called a butterfly ballot. Not only had this design confused voters, it also violated Florida state law. People thought they voted for Al Gore, but instead had either voted for another candidate or for two candidates. For example, it was determined that Reform Party candidate Pat Buchanan received about 3,000 votes from voters who most likely intended to vote for Gore. Here's why that's important. Gore lost Florida to Bush by a mere 537 votes. The election was very close, and when Gore lost Florida, he lost the election. There was also another ballot issue, hanging chads. When you punched your ballot, it would push out a little round circle called a chad. It's just like when you use a standard hole punch on paper. However, on 60,000 ballots, these chads were still hanging, and these ballots went uncounted. The election results hung in the balance for more than a month. The initial tally had Bush leading by less than 2,000 votes, which triggered an automatic recount. Gore sued to have the ballots counted, and Bush fought to not have them counted. The Florida State Supreme Court ruled in favor of Gore and demanded that those ballots be counted. The case escalated to the U.S. Supreme Court. The justices essentially ran down the clock and issued a last-minute opinion at 10 p.m. on December 12th that said that Congress had set a deadline, and because of that, there was no more time to count the votes. Gore conceded the next day. Now that you know where we've been, find out where we're going. Tune in to Ladies Love Politics, where you can stay informed without going insane.